2 Corinthians chapter number 4 sums it up, kind of. There's lots and lots of scripture. But if you look at verse 3, the Bible said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," that's a little g, that's a devil, "the God of this world," young people, don't forget that, the devil is the God of this world. He is running the show down here, buddy. He's having his day right now. The devil's having his day. Old Tammy Bay Faker, a few years ago, said that the devil had his teeth pulled at Calvary. She said the devil got his teeth pulled. So the devil been walking around like, yeah, ever since. Ever since Mount Calvary. Rawr! You know, all he can do is growl at you. He can't get you. Now that's wrong. The Bible said he walketh back and forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And she's wrong. Look at verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now these people that I'm going to show you tonight, in particular this one man, his eyes have been blinded by the god of this world. Now the problem with this fellow is he don't think he's blind. And a person who don't realize they're blind is blinder than anybody. There is such a word. You're more blind than anybody else if you don't realize you're blind. If a man realizes he's blind, now he's just blind. But if you're blind and don't know it, you're double blind. You can't see with your heart, with your mind, or with your eyes. Now, our church, I want our church to be, the modern expression is, on the cutting edge of doing in the fight for God. I don't want us to be ignorant of the devil's devices. I don't want to advertise to the devil. That's not why I'm here. You always hear people say that. Listen to me. You always hear people say, "Oh, you're not supposed to set up the devil." Now, the Bible said for us not to be ignorant of his devices. So my purpose in doing this tonight is to help us and help us realize where we are on God's clock and God's calendar, and just let you see that while churches in America have been asleep for the past 25 years, the devil has been working overtime. And buddy, he talk about deceiving a generation of young people. You're going to see how it's done here tonight. I was thinking, and I preach a lot about this, you know, that rock music message that I preach has went literally all over this country and different parts of the world. I don't know where that thing's went. I go to New York, I go to all over places, and people come walking up to me and they say, "Somebody give me that video. We got a room full of teenagers and showed it to them. 4 or 5 got saved. We showed it on Sunday night." There is no telling how many people's been saved as a result of those videos. And I praise God for it. I give him the glory. Thank the Lord for using that. Like, I remember praying and fasting one time before I did that until I knew God was on the scene. And God had his hand on that tape and used it. But it also brings a lot, there's no telling what kind of problems we've had because of that. Because the devil hates this kind of exposure. I got a letter from Arkansas some time ago, and it said to Danny Castle, put it on there, and it said, "Your recent challenges to a fight have not gone unnoticed." And it began to talk about how that I was going to get killed, you know, and they was going to, said, "You will soon get it," and it was signed Satan. And what that was, in the church of Satan, and in any kind of satanic movement, a lot of these guys and girls have to do things in order to prove their loyalty to the devil. So if you were going to join some kind of coven, or you were joining some kind of satanic movement, they'd say, "All right, are you dedicated?" They won't let just anybody join. Go burn down a church. Or go bust the lights out of the preacher's house, or set his car on fire, or do something like that. You say, "Oh, that don't really happen." Sure it does. You know, in gangs in New York City right now, the Crips and the Bloods have moved across the country from Los Angeles, come into New York City, And one of the part, you know, the initiation lasts like about a month. And they go out and kill people and everything to be initiated into the gang. And one of the gang members' initiation rites is that you're just walking down the streets of New York and you take a box cutter with a razor blade on it, walk up to a total stranger and slash their face. And there's a lot of people having their face just slashed. Can you imagine just walking down the street, somebody come out behind and just cut you, leave a scar, open up your nose down into the bone, lip, leave a scar on you for life just to be accepted by a gang. That's the kind of world that we find ourselves living in. Bible said in the last days, perilous times should come. That word perilous means dangerous. And we're living in the time right now. There are people right now in North Carolina that would kill me tonight if they knew what I was doing and they thought they could do it and get away with it. They'd kill me tonight. When you go to the mall, you see them. The real, real white skin, that dark, dark lipstick, where it looks like blood's coming out of your mouth through your teeth. That's the impression you get. You get the dyed, jet black dyed hair. It's not really black, just dyed. And then you got the silver jewelry and all this look of, on your face of blank, just a blank stare and look up on your face. It is a growing cult that we see coming up. You saw these kids in the mall. It's pitiful. It's like they're a slave. It's a slave. And a lot of times, even in our big cities, I don't know if our policemen here tonight, Brother Pruitt or any of you other guys are, but in the big cities, even the cops are having to take courses on recognizing signs of satanic activity and that type of thing. I don't know if we have done that here or we have. But in big cities, you wouldn't believe it. They took me, when I was out in, near Dallas, Texas, they said in Dallas, Texas, the gangs are underground. I thought, what do you mean they're underground? The city sewer system runs all over the town, the city. And you got these big pipes underneath there. Great big pipes. You can almost stand up in them. They're about this tall. And the gangs operate in those pipes. They can move from one part of the city to the other going through the sewer system. And then they come out those manholes and go back down and offer up sacrifices and have meetings and then travel and commit crimes and go down in those sewer pipes and operate. And I thought, well, you know, it's just like demons are just coming out of the ground and operating on the world. And they are. They are. We are living in the most openly satanic, demonic age that this world has ever, ever, ever seen. Now tonight, I'm going to show you our acceptance of it. What I'm getting ready to show you tonight was on TV 3 nights ago, Thursday night, all over this country and probably different countries in the world. And American people accept this as normal and kids doing their thing and just a normal thing, no big deal at all. Now if I was the devil tonight, what would I do? Let's say tonight that this door right here is the door going to heaven. This door right here. Let's say that in there is heaven. Up in there is heaven right there. All right, let's say this only door. That other door wasn't there. This is it right here. Now look, if I was God, I would say I want everybody in this building to go through that door. Everybody in this building, go through that door. I want you to go to heaven. Come on. The only way you can get in heaven is go through that door. That's all I try to get you to do. Now, the devil's job, if I was the devil, I wouldn't care what you've done as long as you didn't go through that door. You can play around over here. You can sing in the choir, get in the baptistry, wallow around in there, play the piano, read the Bible, talk. You can do whatever you want to just as long as you don't go through that door. If I was the devil, my job would be stop this door. Oh, you don't want to go in here. Nah. You don't want this. Do anything but this. Be religious. Go to church. Have a good time. Just don't do this. Now, Jesus Christ said, I am the door. The Lord said, I am the door. Jesus Christ is the door. The baptistry ain't the door. The church membership ain't the door. The steeple ain't the door. The pews ain't the door. Jesus said, I am the door. So the devil's job is discredit Jesus, cuss Jesus, blaspheme Jesus, hate the cross, hate the blood, hate the cross, because the devil knows that it's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul, and the cross is the way to heaven. I want to tell you, there is an ongoing attack tonight of the devil trying to stop young people from going through the door. I want to tell you kids here tonight, all you teenagers, there's probably some teenagers here tonight that's never been saved. There's some young people here tonight that's never been saved. Get through the door. Get through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. When He shed His blood, He opened up the door. You kids in here tonight don't realize what a battle is going on for your soul. Now, Marilyn Manson, as he calls himself, named his band Marilyn Manson and himself the same name after Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson. He thought that they were his heroes. He thought they had such an influence. His newest album that I'm going to show you a little part of tonight, or mention of it, is called Antichrist Superstar. His desire is that this album will do the same thing to America that the Manson murders did to America back in the late 60s. That's what he said. He says his calling, he said every generation needs somebody to stomp out Christianity and get rid of it. He said it's my job in this generation. That is his calling. That is his anointing. That is his purpose in operating. Now, listen to that. He hates the Lord Jesus. You say, well, I heard that he was raised up in a Christian school. Part of his life he was. That's a fact. But I want you to know, brother, some Christian schools are some of the deadest, driest, most wicked places you've ever seen in your life. They're like, hey, listen, brother, there's a lot of wickedest people in church, in the world went to church all their life. Hey, that's why it's important where you go to church. Amen? I'm going to give you some quotes here that come off the internet that somebody brought me the other day. And it said this. You say, well, how do you go to a Christian school and turn out a pervert working his life against Jesus Christ? Answer, simple. What would you do if you were not in music? Marilyn Manson, quote, I think I might be a third grade teacher or a TV evangelist. Something where I could be getting at people's minds when they're most vulnerable. So he says the most vulnerable people are third graders and people who sit and listen to preachers. What does your mom think of this? Quote, she's very supportive. Listen about his mother. She feels responsible, so she has no other choice but to accept it. It's a whole other story if I got to talk about my mom. She doesn't play guitar, so I shouldn't say anything. My mom imagines things. She has mice and talks to them. She wakes up in the middle of the night and has visions of people standing at the foot of her bed, demons and stuff like that. So before anybody starts saying, well, see that, he went to a Christian school and look what he done to him. That Christian school didn't do nothing to him. His mom seeing demons at the foot of the bed is where that stuff come from. And it brings home the point that we try to preach over and over. You can have your kids in a good church or a good school, but they've got to be trained to live for God at home. You mamas and daddies has got to set the example. Hey, you can always trace it back to mom and daddy. You can always trace it back to mom and daddy. If you got kids here tonight, you are responsible before God to get them under all the red, hot, fiery preaching you can get them under and get them in the very best school and church that you can possibly find and get them in the right atmosphere. You're responsible to God to read the Bible with them at home and pray with your kids and live right in front of your children and set an example for them. It'll come back to you one day. You say, well, preacher, I've done the best I could, and my kids still... I'm not saying that don't happen. My heart goes out to you, and I'm praying that God will get them back in. I'm not blaming it all on the parents. But I want to say something tonight. This fellow says this. How would you raise your kids if you had kids? Marilyn Manson. Yeah, I do want to have kids someday. And I would show them everything. I wouldn't hold anything back from them. God have mercy on his kids. I think if you show kids reality and stop trying to protect them, they can handle it. That means take a four-year-old, let it see any kind of perversion it wants to see, do anything it wants to do, child pornography, bestiality, any kind of sin, sex, drugs, liquor, anything, expose it to them and then they can handle it. We want to, his other member of the band says, we want to raise the children that the parents aren't raising. And buddy, that's a fact, son. See these kids lined up at the movies? See these kids lined up? Those are all kids that the parents ain't raising. You say, well, listen, they're not going to raise my kids. My kids ain't going to no rock concert. You say, well, you know what somebody told me the other day? They told me, they said, well, I just can't do a thing with them. You know, when they get 16, there ain't nothing you can do. I thought, what a nut you are, man. Why did you read in the Bible where it says when they're 16, they ain't nothing you can do? Oh, there's plenty you can do. The first thing you can do is don't give no 16-year-old a car and a set of car keys. Amen? Now, it's all right if they're supervised and you ride with them. I mean, I let my daughter get her license when she's 16 and all that. And a little bit later, we go, and you get them an old clunker, you know, then you get them a little bit nicer car or something like that. But for heaven's sake, don't say, here, a 16-year-old, go have a good time. You must be out of your mind. You say, well, I think they're going to have to learn sometime. You need to go to a good shrink, man. Have your head looked at. Did you do the right thing when you were 16 and got a car out by yourself? Yeah. Buddy, if when I first got my license, the first place I hit, I'd head to the Moose Lodge and go swimming, and then I'd head right out here, hang around, you know, at the Harvest and the Burger Boy and Hardee's and all those places, and we'd stand there, and everybody'd holler and scream, you know, just getting in trouble, just getting in trouble. You know, if you did it, you know your kids is going to do it. Hey, you parents, you listen to me tonight. You ought to keep check. I don't think you ought to let your kids go to a high school football game. Unless you're with them or supervise them or know where they go after it's over. Amen? You say, well, you're too protective. I'm not going to let them raise my kids. I don't think you ought to turn a bunch of teenagers loose and let them go. So we're just going to the ball game. Yeah, but they don't tell you where they go after the ball game and who they sit with and what they done at high time. And they went and got something to eat in Asheville, you know, and then went around by Charlotte on the way back and had three flats and had to take so-and-so home because they had to be home. Yeah, we used to tell that same bull to my mom and dad. Amen. You kids might get mad at me tonight, but I might be saving your life. Amen? Might be saving your life. Mom and dad keep a crack down on the kids. I'm not saying me. Now, I think a Christian can be too hard on their kids. And I think you ought to put them in everything the church does, and I think you're wrong if you don't. Amen? I can't imagine a kid saying, Mama, let me sing. Mama, Daddy, let me do this. And Mom and Daddy saying, no. Lord, I'd be something scared something would happen to them if I was like that. Let them live for God. But don't let them out of your sight if they got a chance to do wrong. Because they will do wrong. They will, yours will, mine will, anybody's will. That's just the day we're living in. Marilyn Manson wears a blue contact. One blue contact, make one eye blue and the other to give this effect of demon possession. The pimp in A True Romance, Drexel Spivey, wears a blue contact. Quentin's character from Dusk Till Dawn wears two blue contacts for a brief shot where he turns into a vampire. The contact represents blindness. And then he uses the verse, the God of this world that I read a minute ago, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He said this, I've decided to accept the role of a fallen angel. That's his job. Marilyn Manson is God's punishment for the sins you created for yourself. He said the end of the world was always something that fascinated me since he was 13, but I was told it was coming. I kept staying up every night terrified about the end of the world. Now that's where somebody should have got him and led him to Jesus and showed him a King James Bible and got him in the right church, got him in a good youth choir. He might not have been the pervert that he is today. Then he said, I finally realized that it wasn't happening, and I almost became what I was afraid of. And now his job is, stomp it out. Stomp it out. So what you're going to see tonight, briefly, is all of our faults. It's Americans' fault for letting stuff like this go on in America. You're going to see the desecration of the flag in just a minute. That ought to make any true, blue, red-blooded American mad as fire. Right, we had boys, literally, on purpose, willingly, gave their life and blood for that flag right there. And you're going to see them stars right there representing their 50 states. This fool takes them out there and puts his satanic S. You know that lightning bolt sound like KISS and all them? The lightning bolt S? The satanic S on the flag. And we think it's great and applaud him and make him a millionaire. Now I'm going to try to start here, so flip them lights off over our brother Dale. And then I want somebody to get the rest of them. This was the... you leave these on dim just for a second. Dim. MTV Video Awards. It was on Thursday night. I had it taped. Because I figured there'd be something like this on there. And they saved him to the last part of the show. And Americans by the millions went wild. If you're a kid sitting here tonight saying, oh, I've already seen it. I stayed up and watched it the other night. Your parents ought to be spanked first. And then you ought to be spanked. You're not really showing how smart you are. Because you always should stick your tongue. Did you go stick your tongue in the commode? You should have stuck your tongue in the commode. Ain't that right, kids? Ain't that what I tell them? Anytime you listen to rap music, always stick your tongue in the commode. So you'll be consistent. Do the same thing to your body you're doing to your soul. Putting sewage in it. And this was performed the other night. The cuss words are blipped out. I hate for you to have to see a couple of things on here. This is the people our kids are worshiping nowadays. And listen to the little speech. He comes mocking the presidency. Okay? Let me see if I can get it going here, Roy. All right, go ahead. Take them on down.
Forgot to thank his hat. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to please welcome Count Chocula's favorite band, Marilyn Manson.
That's enough to offend any child of God. That's enough to offend any American. I doubt if these boys that's been shot and have their legs took off, and I doubt really, brother, they appreciate a bunch of brats in America. They ain't never walked a day in their life. Some of them desecrate the flag of the United States of America. Amen. He said, I think it's cool. I think you're a little spoiled brat and need somebody to turn you over their knee. Man. All right. Look at this, it comes out. There he is.
My fellow Americans.
Check out that sign there on the front of that thing. Reckon that could be a forerunner of what's coming in a few years? Reckon why this generation is being programmed to have a speech from the Antichrist? Reckon why tattoos are so popular all of a sudden in the last few years? They're getting you ready for the mark. Hey, listen to me. Hey, hear what I say. This is 1997. We're nearing the year 2000. The rapture's coming. Jesus is coming in the clouds. Boy, that's a sign of the time we're fixing to leave this whole world. Hey, man, there wasn't no such thing as that when I started preaching. I never thought we'd see this day, but we're here. We're here. Are you ready? Listen to this.
be oppressed by the fascism of Christianity. And we will no longer be oppressed by the...
Let's hear that again. The first thing he says when he opens his mouth, we're no longer be oppressed by the fascism of Christianity. Why don't he say something about the Muslim religion?
My fellow Americans, we will no longer be oppressed by the fascism of Christianity. And we will...
Wonder why? Why nothing about Buddhism? Did you know that the Muslim faith oppresses people a lot more than Christianity does? Amen, brother. Amen. What's the deal here, man? Why would a man come out? Listen to me. Hear me tonight. Why would a man come out? And for the most influential group in America, this is the group the college kids worship, these gang of kids in this audience. If ever kid in America who's not saved would like to be in a crowd like that, be a part of it. And the first thing the guy says is, we don't want Christianity. Oh boy. What does that show us? No other historical event is mentioned. Nothing about Abraham Lincoln's death. Nothing about Columbus. Nothing about Michelangelo. Nothing about Muhammad or Buddha or any other religious leader. Just that door. They hate that door. The devil that's in them hates the door. He hates the door. Oh boy, we're ready to go. You listening?
Yes, by the fascism of beauty. Because I see you all sitting
here
trying your hardest not to be ugly. Trying your hardest not to fit in. Trying your hardest to earn your way into heaven. But let me ask you, do you want to be in a place that's filled with a bunch of...
That's what he calls Christian. That's jungle beat from Africa to summon the demons. You can tell when the demon gets it. See those eggs? You can tell when he gets possessed. Watch this. They say at the end of it, watch this. I can't let you hear it all. What? Look at those satanic S's. See them? Like I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Listen to the end of it. What this idiotic comedian wannabe says.
Run to church right now! Get your asses in church! Are you going to hell? Thank you! Good night! Thank everybody!
That's the way the show goes off. See the apple back there? You can bite. See the sin, temptation?
Yo! We are!
And that's the way the show ended. Now look at this. This is kind of a bootleg video. You can't even buy videos of this yet. Kind of a bootleg copy from Gatlinburg. And I want to show you what this idiot does. You say, preacher, what is it? It's demonic possession. When a preacher yields himself to God. Isn't that some way to end the 1997 video war that everybody in America is watching? Go to church so you won't go to hell. And everybody gets a big laugh out of it before they leave. Whoa. What are we doing here, man? What are we doing here? Watch this. I'm going to show you just some more video clips of one thing. This is some of the ones that I use in my rock presentation. There's Anton LaVey, who he gets his inspiration from. You want to hear him say it? Listen to this interview with Marilyn Manson.
Influences on me as far as literature would be in America, Anton LaVey, the guy who wrote the Satanic Bible.
See that? There's what the Satanic Bible says about the blood of Jesus. Look at this song here with the chicken's blood and the kids. Here you'll see him kissing the girls on the wall and then kissing the boys, saying the girls taste good and the boys taste good. There goes the boys.
Well, the chaos of that year, so you're saying it's coming.
Look at this buddy there. That's Twiggy there beside him. With that miniskirt on. His sidekick. Now check it out. That's why you girls don't want that color lipstick. That's the wrong color. You don't want your mouth to look nasty and bloody. Like a vampire. Why that pretty little pink. Look a little innocent. Not like an old hoe. Amen. Parents, that's your job. Parents, that's your job. Hey, make them get out in the yard and play and give them a little suntan on their face. Look like some washed out drug addict. Man, they're unhealthy. Make them play ball. Get in the mud. Don't have them laying in front of the TV all day long. Oh, I'm getting just turn TV and lay off. Hey, we got parents that let their kids stay up all night and watch TV and sleep all day while mom and daddy's at work. Look at this.
Circumstances. Woodstock just happened again, and I think this record maybe will.
That wouldn't tape today. I tried it twice and it would not tape.
You know, in the same.
Where he's talking about the Manson murders.
Woodstock just happened again, and
don't ask me why.
I think this record maybe will. That's all I remember.
Oh,
the song was written about drugs, and it was recorded while on drugs, and the video was shot with everybody using drugs also. So,
wow. Now, Jimi Hendrix back in the 60s believed that he was possessed of a devil. And you see him here as he conjures up the devil on the stage with the pipe.
What made him act the way he acted, and what made him say the things he said. And
Jimi Hendrix was demon-possessed, according to his own testimony. Now, that was late 60s, early 70s. Now, watch Manson do the very same thing in the 90s. And look at this little boy bringing him his lunch. What does that remind you of? What do you think that represents? The little boy's lunchbox. That's the name of the song, Lunchbox. There he goes, doing just what Jimi Hendrix did in the late 60s. Ain't that something? Oh, I just thought I'd put this on there to pour a little variety in.
I just had this tape playing with it today. And I said, I'll stick that in there. Change the scenery. This is a commercial. This is Sister Amy Grant as she sings one of the songs on her video. And the song is, Every Heartbeat Bears Your Name. I feel the same. My red blood runs to blue. For every heartbeat belongs to you. What in the world? Every heartbeat belongs to you. You say, that's love music, preacher. That's for people in love. Yeah, you're right. That's absolutely right. That's what it's for. You know where this comes from? Baptist bookstore in Hickory. That's a Christian tape. Listen to it. You see a boy and girl meet in a laundromat, and the boy takes off his shirt to wash it, and the girl starts acting like she's taking off her shirt. Of course she really don't, because it's just kind of playing around. Then they all meet in love and dance around in the laundromat and fall in love. What was that doing in the Baptist bookstore in Hickory? All right, now we're back to Manson. That was a commercial. Now, the reason I did that, tell the truth, I don't know why I did that. I think it's just to show you, man, the devil's got more ways than one to come in. But people say, oh, I'm not a Satanist. I don't listen to that head. But hey, the devil's smart. He knows there's more than one way in. He knows some of you people can't handle that hard stuff, so he gets you with that other little stuff. Amen? Hey, listen. There's songs back in the 60s that were popular songs that are not as wicked as some of this gospel stuff is now. Amen? It's pitiful. All right, let's see what he does here. I'm about through. Let's then quote this scripture. You know what I seen people doing just like that down there in Brownsville the other night? That church? Weird, man. Weird. There is power in music. Their spirits enter in as music is played. Listen to this. I think I got it right here. Quoting the scripture.
If you spend a dog returning to his own vomit,
dog return to his vomit,
so shall you return.
Like the devil's quoting that scripture through him. Weird. Ain't that sick? That's demon possession. Just a little bit of light, please. Just not fine. And you see how the devil takes the flesh and the music. And he just whips those kids into a frenzy where they don't even have no power almost to resist. I'm embarrassed. You'd had to see what you saw. By blush, I think, oh God, what's it going to take for our generation? Preachers go around screaming and holler and beg people to get right. Some of you people sitting right here, and I still, I ain't going to change my way. I'm going to live like I want. What's it going to take to shock you? I think we need to have our musicians come all to the instruments tonight. And we're going to have an altar prayer in just a minute. And I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want you to search your heart. The first question I want to ask you is, am I saved? Am I saved? If you don't believe there's a heaven and a hell, it's about time you quit playing games with God. And if you're here tonight and you're a teenager and you've not been living right, you've been saying, hey, I don't care what mom and daddy says. I don't care what the preacher says. I'm just do what I want to do. I'll go to rock concerts. I'll keep it in my car, do what I please. And it's none of their business. You're opening yourself up to demon powers. Something's already come to this altar. Get up and get down here and get down this altar and pray. You that sneak around and wait till mom and daddy goes to bed and then turn the TV on, find the rottenest, nastiest music you can find and just love it. Put it on your radio in your car. God will help you tonight if you'll let Him. He'll help you tonight if you'll let Him. You say, preacher, I don't want my kids to be corrupt. Moms and daddy, this is a place to be on this altar, getting your heart right with the Lord. Father, do what ought to be done tonight. Save that one which is lost. Help us, O God, we pray. Lord, have mercy when we see the way the world's going tonight. God, it just makes us sick to see what's going on in this world. Have mercy on us, we pray. Do with us and for us what ought to be done. God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Are you ready?